This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WFAN and WFAN-FM and HD1, New York.
An Odyssey station.
Your official station to talk Giants.
I've had good talks with KT. I've had good talks with some of the other guys.
The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
A couple minutes after 7 o'clock, Sal and Jerry coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio. We got Sus, we got Zoo, it's a holiday Friday. Boomer and Geo are off. Couple of things quickly, and we'll get back to your calls, or we'll talk to ourselves. And we'll continue with the Durant and the Knicks stuff.
It's
and
better
all that.
Than talking to yourself, though, Jerry.
Oh,
I would
true.
Do the same thing at 3 in the morning. Look, you don't want to call? Fine, I'll just talk to myself. I don't care, don't call.
We've heard that and we've played that. And we've enjoyed that. So I mentioned that we have a surprise guest coming up at 8 o'clock. So today, I guess it was 3 p.m., July 1st, 1987, that this radio station started. Susan Waldman was the first voice on the radio station doing an update and history since then, as you guys know. So to celebrate that as such, I do know that McMonagle has Mike Francesa coming on the program
at
3 o'clock this afternoon. Yes, he does.
Wow.
Which I heard was revealed yesterday during the Carton and Roberts show.
Wow, that's a big get.
Our get's pretty damn big, too. Because at 8 o'clock, we have Christopher Mad Dog Russo coming on. So I thought that was kind of a cool idea.
I can't wait to
walk down memory lane a little bit.
He's always been, you know, from a listener standpoint, always been my favorite personality. Yeah, obviously he's got a lot going on. I can't wait to talk to Dog.
Now, are you giving him the $10,000 for this appearance?
Yeah, right. I was going to say, when I was texting to try to get him on, it was, look, he's not getting paid for this one. Doggy's got to know that this one's on the house, but we appreciate him taking the time. I can't wait to talk to him coming up at 8.
So, yeah, so that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Also next hour, after we talk to Chris, some of
were you a Dog or a Mike guy?
I would say both. Honestly,
because you worked
both.
On their show right behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, I would say both.
Were you a producer or board op or both?
Mostly a board. I was only 6 months.
Okay,
with them.
All right,
mostly a board op. However, there was a stretch for, I guess it was 1 week in the summer or the spring where Carlin was off.
Right.
I don't know if he was sick or off or whatever, and I slid over and I was the producer, and that was the day that I booked President Clinton.
Oh, right. I remember the famous story.
Of course, booked them. They called the newsroom and wanted to go on, and I just happened to be the producer of record that day.
Right. I did not have sex with that woman.
He didn't say that. Yeah. I did ask him to say, they put the representative for the president on the phone, and I said, is there, because Chris is in the, hey, ask them to say first time, long time.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'll try. So the representative, whoever it was, for Clinton is on the phone, and I'm talking to him. I'm getting them all prepped. Here's what we're doing. They're telling me how much time we have. All's good. And I say, is there any chance he would say first time, long time? And the person was like, don't know what that means. No. Okay, got it. Understood.
Oh, okay.
I guess, wacky radio bit could be.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I would say, honestly, both. And that 6 months was not a good 6 months for those two.
You mean fighting?
Yeah, they didn't talk a lot.
You know, it's so weird. As a listener, I remember meeting Huesler at the school that I went to, right, for broadcasting school. And, I was just in love with everything WFAN and in awe of Bob and, the stories. And in my mind, as a listener standpoint, I'm just assuming Mike and Chris are Like besties.
Yeah, why wouldn't you think that?
No, right. I mean, I'm thinking they're best friends. And then, you know, you learn that, no, it doesn't work like that. Obviously, common sense would say you don't have to be, you know, not everybody's like us, Jer. Two besties here hanging out doing a radio show. No, but you learn that obviously there are differences in them working on the show. I mean, there were some stuff there.
Oh, there were differences.
Yeah, right.
That's why we'll get back to this point in 1 second. That is why the Boomer and Carton thing to me was so amazing. Having seen so many tandems argue, not really be tight off the air, but then they go on the air and you never know it. I tell you, Craig and Boomer, 10 years, I never saw like one issue ever. And Boomer and G are kind of, you know, getting, it's only a few years as opposed to 10, but, and it's a big credit to Boomer, the fact that he lets, well, he just handles everything.
Do you think it's different now? I mean, back then, Mike and Chris were thrown together. You know, there was no established radio. They were the first to do it. They're the greatest ever to do it. And at the time, they're the first and trying to make, you know, their name and make money. And then look, and I will tell you, Jared, as somebody who's always, you know, I've always dreamt of doing this, right? And I've always thought about doing a show with somebody else. When you start to get established doing your own show on your own, I can see now how that could be like, hey, you're working with this guy. And I'm like, I don't work with that guy. I got to be me. I got to be able to do my own show. So then they have that dynamic going on. And then you start making money. You start getting the accolades. Ego gets involved. And before you know it, it's, you know, you're in the midst of this thing. You can no doubt understand how it happens. It's why it happens with bands where they break up all the time and all those different things. So
a lot of time together.
Yeah, right.
Like you probably spend more time.
Good God, five and a half hours a day?
I was going to say, 5.5 hours a day, you got some time before the show. You usually walk out together after the show. It's probably a 7-8 hour day together. And that's probably more time than you spend with your family.
Yeah, and the nature of this is debating. Which is why when I first started at SNY and Moose and I were working together every night, I remember having a talk with him. Like, we can't, you know, we're good friends going in. We can't take it personally. We're arguing the topic, not each other. Because if you start to take stuff personally, that could lead to a little bit of nastiness. And you could see that where it's not the sports topic, although at times, you know, I remember the big fight that Mike and Dog had at, you know, before the inevitable breakup. They were betting on, they had bet the Suns over for the year. And then Phoenix traded for Shaquille O'Neal. I forget what it was. One liked the move, one didn't. And yeah, it led to, you know, that led to a bigger issue.
Right.
So just things like that. If you start taking that stuff personally, the arguments, it could wear thin. But you're right, 5.5 hours a day, goodness, I understand it.
Taking someone bashing the Nets every day personally. All right, let's do just a little bit of baseball here, just because the Yankees did play the Astros yesterday. I know CeeLo covered it in his segment. But, you know, to me, it's nothing. They lost 2-1, whatever. It's a quick stop. They go to Cleveland now this weekend. They'll pick right back up where they were. Now, some will say, yeah, but the bigger issue is, you know, they lost 3 of 5. The 2 games they won, should they really have won them? They could have been swept, blah, 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 blah. All of that, I understand. I'm with you, though. I still think at the end of the day that this team is built differently. And I do think that they are the better team. And I know Boomer brought that up the other day. I know you guys even debated it on SNY. Are the Astros the best team in baseball? They're certainly making their case. But until I see that record better than what the Yankees have done, to me, the Yankees are still the team to beat in Major League Baseball. And they will be, because they're going to continue to win a lot of games and a lot of series. Yesterday, you lose 2-1. That's got to change in the postseason. And I think it will. I really do. For some reason, I just think this Yankee team is different.
Yeah, well, they are. They play better defense. They're more balanced, whether you talk about, you know, the catching situation, the base paths, the contact hitting, the play at shortstop. You know, I know they're still mashers and they hit a bunch of homers. I mean, we're talking about adding a lefty in there with Rizzo now for a full year, who's been a difference maker. They are different. The pitching, top to bottom. Remember, too, they're going to get guys back in the bullpen. They're already one of the best bullpens, if not the best. They're going to get guys back. They could add another starter. That, to me, would be the biggest, I don't even want to say issue, because I don't think there are major issues, but if you can add to this Yankee team right now, forget Gallo, he's irrelevant, they'll find somebody that can plug that. You can bring up Andujar and get better. You can put Jerry or I in there and you get better production, or similar to what Joey Gallo's been giving you. But if you don't trust Cortez 100%, if you don't trust Severino, maybe wear and tear coming back off the, you know, injuries that he's had the last several years, do you trust him in the postseason as a legit number two? Maybe they can add a guy like Montez or Castillo. But that, outside of that, I mean, there are no perfect teams. This is as well rounded, as balanced, as dominant a team as we've seen. And the only thing they haven't been able to do is get over the hump in the postseason. And that's what they need to do this year.
The one thing you will have, and I said this to Kim the other day, too. I don't want to make a move. If I'm the Yankees, I don't make a move just for move's sake in terms of a trade, because I think they are about as complete a team as you're going to find. That having been said, if there is a move that they need to make, the league is so damn top-heavy that you've got, you're going to have 15, 16, 17 teams at the deadline that know they have no chance.
Right.
So you're going to have a big pool to possibly pull from or trade from.
Even with the expanded postseason, I have not looked at the bottom of the standings because we haven't had
so many bad teams.
Well, the obvious bad teams, yes. But I'll give you an example. A team like the Red Sox, who early on were all like,
oh, no, they're in the mix.
Pick them apart for J.D. Martinez or whatever. And they're in second place right now. So you look at the playoff picture in the American League, you can argue that everybody outside of Baltimore, Detroit, who if somehow people thought were going to be good this year, I mean, that was ridiculous, Kansas City, and Oakland. That's four teams eliminated. Everybody outside of them, you can argue, are going to have a run at a playoff spot.
Maybe, but I'm talking by the trade deadline. So
it's only another, month, but, I mean,
teams like Seattle, the Angels, and the Rangers, I mean, they're under 500 now. They could fall off even further. By the trade deadline, they could all be out of it.
Yeah.
And the Astros running away with the division, and I understand the expanded playoffs, but if you're 7-8 games under 500, are you really going to start giving up assets for what? You have to have some semblance of a thought that you can do something in the postseason to make those moves.
Right.
And I think because we're so top-heavy with the Astros and the Yankees and the American League, and the Central is what it is. I mean, whatever. Someone's going to come out of that and they'll be out in the first round. But I look at this, I see team after team after team. The Cubs, the Reds, the Pirates.
National League, there's
more. These teams are dead.
There's seven already, at least, in the National League that have no shot.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you could probably pick the playoffs right now. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's one that's going to be left up for grabs. Anyway, it is going to be fascinating to see. See, I was thinking the opposite, that because of the expanded postseason, maybe you'd have to wait a little bit for a team that's thinking, oh, we'll make a run at the playoffs. But you could eliminate some, you know, certain teams already, no doubt about it. And the point is, look, the Yankees are going to be able to add whatever they would want, as they always do. Last year, the Yankees were a prime example. We were saying, trade guys, sell off. They're not going to do any damage. They went out there and looked to add. And look, they made the wild card because of it. Now, it didn't work out very well for them. But anyway, I think that they'll go out there and add a piece or two. My question to you would be, do you worry about Judge in center field?
No.
Because outside of starting pitching, wear and tear, playing center field every day with his body who's been injured, if something happens to him, that changes everything. So maybe they look to go out there and get somebody who could actually be a center fielder.
I heard him the other day. He was asked about playing center field. And I'm paraphrasing, but it was essentially, I love it out there, is what he said. And, you know, he said, I grew up playing center field. I love center field. And he's enjoying it. No, I don't. You know, at some point, and I know he's had injury issues. A lot of guys have. At some point, though, you got to let him just go out and play. And right now it's working. He plays a good center field. We see what he's done. Now, I know the slump. Didn't the slump coincide with him, his arbitration signing?
I guess. I mean, I don't
know. He was 6 for his last 37. This is about as prolonged a slump as he's had all season.
Well, right, but you know baseball. But, I mean, even the best of hitters are going to go into a little bit of a funk.
Point is, he's been off the charts offensively. He's been good in center field. No, I don't worry about it. You know, these guys are world-class athletes.
I know, but there's no need. Look, their best lineup right now, no doubt, him in center field. And I know that he loves to do it. I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying his body, that size, the fact that he's been often hurt, his value to the team, like you want to
DH him.
They've had a nice balance here. However, they could use, you know, Hicks was supposed to be the center fielder, and he's not. He just can't play center field anymore. That's a problem. So I do think they need to find somebody who can play center field a little bit more regularly and give Judge, even though he likes it, give him a rest. Look, you want to get to the postseason and say, hey, this is our best lineup with Stanton in right, Judge in center, whoever they want to work it with, DH, you know, amongst the guys in the infield, fine. But I would worry a little bit. They still got 3 months to go here.
Yeah.
And they've been fortunate. They've been good, but they've been fortunate. Not in the bullpen, maybe, with the injuries, but with that lineup, they've been fortunate.
Well, if you take Gallo out of the mix, which I think at some point he will be, you're looking at Stanton, Judge, and Hicks, essentially in the outfield, right? Am I missing somebody?
No, can they do better, though, than Hicks?
The point would be then, if you're going to go after somebody and it's not a starting pitcher, for instance, that's where you're going.
The problem is there aren't great options at center field, specifically center field.
Yeah.
Which is why I would say, all right, we'll just get somebody who could at least defend out there and then maybe figure out a way to get... Oh, look, I like Andujar in left field even more so than I would Hicks. I know they love Hicks, and for whatever reason, they don't like Andujar, but I thought he looked comfortable in the times he got called up this year. Look, Yankees are loaded, and it really wouldn't even matter. I don't even think it matters, even if you kept Gallo in the postseason and batted ninth. I guess the difference would be 2-1 game with the Strohs. You need every quality at bat you can get. You can't be wasting them with a guy like Joey Gallo.
7:17. It is Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We'll get you Crystal Presti coming up next. Later in the hour, Sal and I will kind of take a look back to some of our favorite highlights, if you will, over the last 35 years.
As listeners and fans or as employees?
Both. Yeah, because okay. I picked out a couple of them. A couple of them are as listeners for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we will do that. Plus Christopher Mad Dog Russo coming up at 8 o'clock as well. More on Durant. More on the Knicks, more on the Yankees, all that to come right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, what's up? Sal and Jerry, 7:23. It's Friday, Summer Friday. By the way, Paul McCartney last week at MetLife Stadium, or 2 weeks ago, 39 songs.
You went?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I just thought...
Is that a lot?
He's 80.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Now, I know the songs are short, but 39 songs?
I don't think they are.
They're not all short.
Not all of them, but some of those Beatles songs are 2 minutes.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
He brings Springsteen out. They're probably jamming for 10 minutes or so. Right?
He did 2 songs with Springsteen.
2 songs, okay.
And I believe Bon Jovi was there as well and did Happy Birthday with the crowd.
Oh, cool.
I guess that's cool depending on if you're a fan of those guys or not. But if I'm going to a concert to see...
Will you go see Kanye West when he turns 80?
I'd love to. I mean, I'd love to see him as soon as possible.
Not when he's 80. Come on.
That'll be a rough show.
I don't think Kanye is
touring
at 80.
Yeah.
Do you think Paul McCartney thought in 1966 he'd be touring at 80?
Well, now, wait, why do you think Kanye at 80 would be a tough show?
I just got to be honest, bro. I don't know what is going to be coming out of Kanye.
Yeah, he might be a little... Right, we don't know what's going to happen like tomorrow with Kanye.
Not everybody makes it to 80, by the way.
Well, that is obvious. Yeah.
Put that on the calendar,
assuming that he's there. But like, what would be the difference? Do you think that style of music wouldn't play? I don't know. I never really thought about it.
I just asked you if you'd go see him.
But I'm curious, like, if that type of concert would not play at 80? I don't know.
No, I think as we go on and medicine and health and fitness becomes better and better and better, clearly these guys can do it at 70 and 80. So I'm asking you if you'd go see him, that's all.
Yeah, I would. But are there performers now? Like, McCartney's just going to stand there and sing
He moves
dancing around.
Yeah.
He tells stories.
Yeah, he does.
You know, like, here would be an example, right? J-Lo, I just watched this documentary on Netflix. Did you guys
J-Lo
see that?
J-Lo at 80?
No. Right. So, like, J-Lo...
By the way, she looks pretty good at wherever she is now, 52.
Right? But, like, so she could... her show is dancing. Whoever you want to pick. Madonna. I don't care who it is.
Sure.
But J-Lo comes to mind because I just watched that documentary, which I thought was pretty good. But at 80, 70, whatever it may be, are they still going to be doing...
Well, Tina Turner was.
That's what I mean. So there you go. That's a good example.
Cher, I think, was still touring as of a couple years ago.
Those were singers. I don't really.
Tina Turner was an entertainer.
Now, were you knocking J-Lo as a singer?
Definitely an entertainer, but had a pretty good voice, correct? Tina Turner?
I would say so. Yeah.
See, when I think of J-Lo, I don't think of the voice. I think of the choreographed
what
dancing.
What do you think of? J-Lo?
The dancing.
Oh, okay.
Her being an entertainer on stage.
I don't think of the voice. I think of the
choreographed dancing. Yeah, I got. That's fine. I'm not going to finish the sentence. You understand where I'm going. When she's out there, let's put it this way:
part of the documentary that people will never take her seriously as a singer, which is unfortunate.
But that's fine. But that's the type of show she chose to do. Like when she's performing live, because of all the dancing she's doing, she's not doing a lot of singing. Like a lot of what you're hearing, I'd imagine, is probably.
Right. So the point is, can you dance like that at 70 or 80?
Mick Jagger still does.
Oh, there you go. He's a good one. I'm not familiar with
him. And another one. You think in 1968, if I'd still be doing this?
Right.
It's 2022.
Now, why do you think they are? Does he need the money? Be that, right? It's the thrill of doing it one last time.
I think it's your job.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's your job. And if you can keep doing it, why not keep... So you've got those bands are still putting 70... Well, maybe not 70, but 60,000 people in stadiums.
Which is
Why would you not do it? You go see Billy Joel at Madison Square Garden. You can't get a ticket.
I know. It's
that's a little different, though.
Why?
Because that show to me is much more sustainable than guys running around dancing on stage.
But his point about the money and you need to do it. He likes doing it, and he can still pack an arena. So why not do it?
He can sit at the piano, sing his songs. Everyone goes nuts, and away you go.
That is an incredible setup, is it not? Once a month, sells out every time.
Sure does.
Shows a 100 out of 100 every single time. It's incredible. Years he's been doing it.
I know.
Got the banner up there in the garden.
Yeah.
That was the last show we saw before the pandemic. We saw him in February of 2020. Was that the year?
Mm-hmm.
At the Garden. And it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I love Billy Joel.
A lot of fun. All right,
when
Chris,
I worked at the Garden, I actually changed one of the Billy Joel banners one night.
Did you really?
Is that right? Look at you.
Like, what do you do? You
up
mean
there in the rafters.
Pulling it down? And
yeah, they lower it down. You take it off the thing. You put on the new one.
So not up in the rafters.
Yeah.
My bad.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm not going to put me up there.
Hey, guys, you got me down here?
There's only four of us holding the ladder.
Flying around like Chris Farley up there.
Did you ever see, I think you were with me the one day we saw it. You ever see these guys change the light bulbs at stadiums?
No.
One of the guys I work with did that, and I was like, you're
thanks.
Nuts.
Yes,
he would just go up there, and he would just be up there.
I want no part. I don't even like going on that bridge. I was taking my nephew to the Ranger games.
I love the
showing
bridge.
On the banners.
Best
I get nervous up there, man. You ever sit in the front row of that bridge?
And it shakes when it gets loud. It's great.
That's awesome. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
No, all right, Chris, take it away. 728, go.
Powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Winters Bros. For help with your next cleanup or construction project, visit wintersbros.com. So I saw someone tweet this out yesterday. There's a lot of funny stuff going on yesterday with the Durant news.
Hilarious.
So I'm not saying this is accurate or anything, but still funny. Kyrie really said, normal people keep the world going, but those who dare to be different lead us into tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Durant said, tomorrow I'm requesting to be on a different team. Oh boy, I love Twitter sometimes. I really do. I know Jerry doesn't find it funny, or Evan, but
and Boomer does.
Yes, clearly. All right, so remember not long ago, Sean Marks sat in front of a mic at his end of season press conference and publicly challenged Kyrie.
I think we know what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody.
And
now they're looking for that?
You're right.
Well, that was at the end of the season.
Yeah, right. Now they're looking for that. Why wasn't that philosophy applied before they brought in Kyrie Irving? I mean, that's the problem. It took him to learn.
Well, Durant wants out, and Kyrie probably follow him out of town now. So that leaves Ben Simmons, which could be a bit of an issue, by the way. Did you see this yesterday? So
what now?
So, well, not with him, but if they're looking to maximize their return, it's a short list. I'm not saying they would be getting any of these players back, but guys who've signed designated rookie extensions, and you can only have one on your roster.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of guys. Now, again, some
of them can't get Devin Booker for Durant.
Correct. And I'm not saying that he would be available, but like Embiid's on the list, but like Wiggins is on the list. Karl Towns is on the list. Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Michael Porter Jr. So, you know, if they're looking for names, like Evan said yesterday, I don't want picks, I want players.
Right.
Well, unless they're offloading Simmons as well, there are certain guys that literally cannot acquire because they have Simmons on the
team. So I'll ask you again, Jared. Knicks or Nets?
Nets. What's wrong with you? I don't want any part of your franchise.
Let's go Knicks. Yeah. I'll say it again.
A two-decade disaster. Knicks. I'll pass.
All right. The Nets also re-signed Patty Mills and Nick
Claxton.
Hope
you enjoyed that 56-win season. That was awesome.
I didn't. 54, but who's counting?
Whatever.
I didn't. Yeah. Very good.
I only know because the one thing that they could hang their hat on for like 25 years.
Right.
I think it was 54. Anyway.
Sure. Well, now you're second. second guessing it?
No, I'm Come assuming on. It's 54 win season for
All
me.
All right. Patty Mills, Nick Claxton are back, and the Nets also
they
traded.
They have a banner. At
you
the
always
guard,
have Jeremy Lin.
Yeah, exactly.
That wonderful 3-week run.
2 years ago was the most fun I've had as a Knicks fan since the 90s. Now, I even like that better
Which
than the 54
would have meant something had they not got, you know.
Embarrassed in the first round. Yeah. No, they stink. I know.
Julius Randle went down the, you
That's
know
the
what.
Other thing. So there's a couple of Nets fans that are like, oh, the Knicks have been bad for 20 years. No crap. Who doesn't know that
Well, you're asking me the question. Which team do I want?
No, I know. I'm saying roster-wise right now. You could
I still have Kevin Durant on the roster.
For now. Come on. He doesn't want to play.
I still have him on the roster.
Oh. Right. I've heard that narrative. Oh, the Nets should dig in here. He's under contract. Really? What are you going to do?
I don't know.
You're going to play poker with him and have him sit out?
Yes.
I'll
tell you what
miserable?
I'm not doing. I'm not giving him up for a bag of balls and a couple of draft picks.
They're talking yesterday that they're going to get one of the all-time great returns in the trade history. It's unprecedented.
Yeah. Well, they got work to do.
Until Durant says, I'm not going to Sacramento or wherever they want to trade him. I'm not going to go there.
He has no choice.
But what's the other team going to say then? They're going to say, hey, if he doesn't want to play here, I'm not going to trade five first-round picks and two star players.
That's fair.
If he doesn't want to be a part of the team.
They're going to have to sell themselves to him.
It's a no-trade clause without actually having a no-trade clause.
Comes back to it being a players' league.
Right.
How about the Knicks? Worst-kept secret is happening. Jalen Brunson's coming to town as the new point guard. Four-year, $104 million deal, plus a player option including a player option for the final season. He had a big postseason for the Mavericks, especially when Luka Doncic was sidelined. Kind of funny to look back on this Jason Kidd answer now. This was while that was happening.
When you've talked about JB this year, you said one of your goals is to get him paid. How much money do you think he made tonight?
A lot. He's going to make a lot of money. I don't know if he needs an agent, but put my name in the hat.
Well, he's got two agents, and one of them is Sam Rose, son of Leon, and his dad now works for the Knicks. Brunson, that is. Didn't even meet the Mavericks or give them a chance to match.
So they didn't offer him 105? Because that was a story that was out there last night.
If they did, all I saw was there was a meeting scheduled, allegedly, that never actually happened last night.
Yeah.
So
the 105 was a made-up story.
I don't know. Maybe they offered it and he just said thanks, but no thanks, but they never actually met. Like, the Dallas contingent was supposedly here in New York, including Mark Cuban, ready to meet with him, and that apparently never happened.
All right.
So. Yeah, there's so many wrong reports about this.
We don't know what's right or wrong.
Right, but then why am I taking any stock in it? I don't care what anybody says anymore.
Can I ask you a serious question? Yeah. We've been doing this a long time, and there are some really good reporters out there, so don't misunderstand what I'm asking you. But do you not think that some of these guys, and I don't mean the top guys, I don't mean that, do you not think some of these guys just make stuff up?
Yeah, they probably do, and I was thinking this week I should have done the same, because a week ago I'm saying, well, of course the Knicks are getting Jalen Brunson. Like, I'm using my sources. Common sense would tell you that he's signing with the Knicks. And then a week later, all these reports, Jalen Brunson reportedly interested in the Knicks. Yeah, well, of course.
Like, we've known that for 2 weeks.
Right, so people who, especially on Twitter now, why not take a chance and use some logic and common sense, and maybe from stuff that they hear, if you're in the business, you're hearing certain things anyway, and if you get it wrong, nobody cares. I couldn't tell you who told me or where I saw the report that Brunson was meeting with the Heat, but meanwhile, I'm talking about it on the radio the other night,
right,
saying what, now I knew he was going to sign with the Knicks, but he's meeting with Miami, Pat Riley, whatever, and meanwhile, that's not happening. Why aren't reporters held accountable? Or why are we even then following the reports? Why do we just...
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like Shams, there's Woj.
That's it.
Stephen A. Smith, even Windhorst a little bit, but for the most part...
Probably on vacation. They had to find him on vacation yesterday to comment on some of this stuff.
I'm just saying there's not many people that I would trust anymore. Because you just don't know.
Sue tells me shoulder surgery for Stephen A., so I apologize. Oh, not vacation.
Okay. My bad. I was going to say an odd time to take a vacation.
Yeah, I was wondering the same, but I know, like, when Dog did his thing on Wednesday, there was no Stephen A., so.
Oh, who was he with?
I forget now.
Was it J.J. Redick?
Windhorst was in there. No, I don't think Redick was in there. Somebody, I don't know. But Stephen A. wasn't there, so I was less interested because I like to see them go back and forth. Maybe you guys can discuss that with him.
Yeah.
Pep, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, for Brunson, fourth player to get a $100 million deal for the Knicks, joining Allen Houston, Carmelo Anthony, and Julius Randle, which is a contract we know they'd like to get out from under. Knicks also bringing in center Isaiah Hartenstein, two-year deal worth $16 million plus. I'm going to skip again some of these other bigger contracts. We've got to get to the Yankees here. Standalone makeup game last night in Houston, where offense was at a premium.
One is hitting the air to deep left field. Stanton going back. It's off the wall. Two runs are going to score. Stanton throws in, and going to second is Bregman. A two-run double to open the scoring for the Astros here in the bottom of third. Astros lead it 2-0.
Sweeney Murdy pinch hitting for John Sterling with a call here
well
on
done,
the fan.
Sweeney.
That's right. That was one of two long innings for Luis Severino, but he limited the damage to those two runs. Yankees went on to lose to the Astros 2-1, but a quirky play to wrap up that third inning. Severino started having trouble with his pitch com and at one point stepped off the rubber to fiddle with it. Kyle Tucker at third base took notice, tried to catch Severino sleeping. Didn't work, though, as he threw home to Jose Trevino for what turned out to be the final out of the inning. Here was Aaron Boone on that after the game.
Sevy didn't panic and reacted the right way and made the play.
Is there a moment of lapse of judgment there where we should call timeout? I mean, he obviously took advantage of the pitch come issue.
No, he was out. He didn't take advantage. He got us out of the rally.
Sure did, and saved some pitches.
I love that answer.
For Severino, he had thrown 27 in that frame, wasn't off the hook yet, but then all of a sudden the inning ends. And great job by Trevino. You see it all the time, not just at home, but tag plays, Jerry, where the guy with the ball will like reach out and allow the guy to come in underneath. Not only did he block the plate, but got the glove right down there.
No, really well played.
Yep. I will say, though, the reporter, she maybe didn't phrase it the right way with saying take advantage.
Yeah.
The right thing to do would have been to call a timeout there from several.
And I think what she meant probably was he was trying to take advantage of the fact that
he's messing around with the stupid pitch gun thing. Right?
Which he had to eventually trade out with Glaber. Glaber came in, they swapped, and then Glaber called for a new one, and someone from the Yankee dugout came out.
If you're Tucker, you got to be embarrassed. No, going back to that dugout.
Sure,
that is embarrassing.
Bases loaded.
You think you're pulling one over? You're trying to be cute.
Second and third. Sorry,
trying to be cute, take advantage of a guy's, you know, with the pitch comm thing, and then boom, you're out anyway. Thank you.
And I could see why. It's like he's off the rubber. He's behind the mound. He's looking down, and it was a pretty quick reaction. And again, he's got his hat and his glove in his left hand, and he fired a strike home. So give him credit for that. But problem was, Yankees did basically nothing offensively other than an Anthony Rizzo solo homer in the sixth, which knocked starter Luis Garcia out of the game. But the Houston bullpen finished the job, including the former Met, Rafael Montero, pitching an eighth inning there, Sal. How about that?
I couldn't believe it the other day when I saw him coming to the game. I was like, this guy's still going?
Yeah.
He's doing actually pretty well, Montero.
Struggles for Joey Gallo continue. 0 for his last 26. He hit 138 in June with 32 strikeouts. Tough spot for Boone, who, as we know, is great at finding the positives, trying here to work his way through an answer on Gallo.
Well, I mean, had a walk in his first at bat, you know, getting to some 3-2 counts and not winning that 3-2 count, which can be, is a challenging one. And, you know, just
3-2 is challenging?
Got to keep grinding through it. You know, but... You know, certainly been a challenge.
It's been a challenge, yes. It certainly has. How about this? This game actually counts as a series. I heard them say that on the broadcast, so I'm going to assume that's correct.
Who decides if it counts as a series?
I don't
or not.
Know, but if so, that would make they were unbeaten in their last 11, 9-0-2. That comes to an end now with this one game standalone, even though it's a makeup game from what was supposed to be a 3-game series.
I want to know, like, by definition, what series means, because there's no way it could be
to me,
one
it means
game.
A series of games,
right? A series
this is
of
one
events,
game.
A series of something, right?
Makes no sense.
It could be one.
Maybe they'll change that. I don't know, but I did hear that last night. Road trip now continues on to Cleveland, first of three with the Guardians tonight. Garrett Cole, Aaron Civale, pregame coverage on the fan at 6:30. Some week for the Guardians, by the way, as they took 3 out of 5 from the Twins across a 4-day span, and they finished the series yesterday with a second consecutive walk-off.
Here's the payoff delivery. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to right center. Did he do it?
Hamilton.
I love Tom Hamilton.
Guardians Radio, yes. He is
he is
classic
tremendous.
Sound. They
he,
beat the Twins.
Jimenez. Who knew he had that power?
Yeah, jeez. How about his season? 308, 9 homers, 37 RBIs. Playing well for Cleveland. More so than Ahmed Rosario. So I probably didn't see that coming as far as the offensive numbers go.
A lot less than $341 million.
Correct. Exactly. So that was obviously Guardians Radio. Now, this is Twins TV. This is Dick Bremer, Bally Sports North. And we told you back-to-back walk-off. They blew a bunch of late leads. Rocco Baldelli called it the most gut-wrenching series he's ever been a part of from a Minnesota standpoint. So Naylor hit the walk-off on Wednesday, Jimenez yesterday, and here was Twins TV with their call.
High fly, right center field and deep. I think we've had enough of the Cleveland Guardians.
That's actually call. Awesome.
It was. Great it was call. Very good. Yes. And I think though Minnesota's still a game up, even though the Guardians took 3 out of 5 there. They had a double header makeup.
They are one game up, correct.
Yeah, so 5 games over 4 days goes well for Cleveland, and now they will see the Yankees tonight. As for the Mets, they've got the Rangers coming in tonight at Citi Field, 1st of 3. Chris Bassett, Glenn Otto at 7:10. Jacob DeGrom reportedly possibly looking at his first rehab start Sunday night for Single-A Port St. Lucie. If he does pitch Sunday, it would be his first true game action since last July. Also, John Heyman reports the Mets are among the teams to check in on the Orioles for Trey Mancini. Is that a name that Sal would be interested
in? Yeah, I think anybody is better than what they've run out there at DH. So whether it's bringing somebody up for a couple of weeks, whether it's making an actual trade, finding a DH has to be one of the easiest things to do in Major League Baseball. Now, the Mets have not had the advantage of that, nor has anybody in the National League. This is the first year they do, and they can't find somebody to actually hit. All you have to do is just hit. Cano, Davis, Dom Smith, just hit. And if they're not doing it, go find somebody else. So, yes, Mancini would be a guy. I don't care who it is, veteran, whatever. Find somebody that can actually produce offensively from the DH spot.
Last thing for this hour, the Deshaun Watson hearing wrapped up after 3 days. We were thinking maybe we would get a decision by end of week before the holiday weekend, but apparently the post-hearing briefs are due the week of July 11th, and this judge is reportedly going to take her time. So this is going to drag out a little longer.
Oh, great.
Then you could have an appeal from either side to Goodell, so we're still probably weeks away.
And training camps open, reporting dates are the 19th of July.
It's right around the corner.
For some teams. I think the Giants are one of those teams where reporting, maybe just for rookies, I don't know about veterans, but yeah, July 19th.
So we'll see.
All right, coming up on 10 to 8, coming up at 8 o'clock, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, as we think back over the last 35 years of this radio station.
35 years? How many have you been here for?
25.
Jeez. You know, I was thinking about it. Even me, like, I started as an intern 20 years ago. 2003, almost 20 years ago. Right? January 2000. That's a long time. The station's only been around for 35 years.
I know.
It's more than half.
It's really, it's nuts. Time just flies.
Here we go. Right. And then what is the calendar saying? I can't wait to get to September. I think that's my favorite saying. Your calendar that you're
on. Which one's in September?
I believe it's September. It might be August, actually, next month. You live, you've loved, you're dead, it's over, or whatever you're gone. It's over.
Sorry.
I was showing that calendar because I have it over my desk at SOY. My wife wouldn't allow it in the house.
I understand.
I was showing it at SOY, and there were some comments about that. And I said, this is just my friend Jerry.
It'll be more positive this year.
Okay.
Somewhat.
What, are you ashamed that it's funny?
No.
And accurate, by the way.
It comes up a lot, so it's all right, enough. We talked about it the other day. Eddie's running the clips. It's like, okay. I gotcha. But yes, that'll be up for sale, I think, October 1st, I hope, for next year. How about a couple of quick calls before we get to Russo?
I'm ready, yeah.
Nick in Manhattan. What's up, Nick? Good morning.
Good morning. I have a comment about the Knicks roster. If you look at Orlando, Detroit, Cleveland, Chicago, their rosters are all better than the Knicks. There's no way they're finishing in the top six.
So what? What's your point?
No. Somebody commented that they would be a 4 or 5.
No. Nick, what happened was Sal was asking me which team I would prefer at this point, and I said I'd still take the Nets because the Knicks, when you look at the Eastern Conference, even with what they've done, they're still not going to be a top 5 or 6 team. So I think you kind of misheard that a little bit, but you're right. You've got teams. The conference is good. I mean, you know, the Bucks, the Sixers, just to start there, the Heat with what they did last year, the Celtics, the run they made, that's your top 4. And then after that, you've got up-and-coming teams. I mean, it's a good conference. It really is.
Atlanta's going to be better, I think.
They got Murray the other day. Yeah. So, no doubt. Tom in Indianapolis, what's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Listen, Jerry, you guys are putting Billy Joel way too high.
What?
I've seen Billy Joel. I've seen hundreds of concerts. I mean hundreds. I saw Led Zeppelin, 7th Row Center. I can read Jimmy Page's guitar strap. Leslie West played Mississippi Queen in front of me. I was at a club with Johnny Winter, Edgar Winter,
Leslie West. I don't even know any of these people. I mean, I've heard of Led Zeppelin, the other few. I mean, come on, can you name somebody that somebody my age would know? I mean, I'm 42, by the way. I'm not 20.
I just saw Tears for Fears. I just saw...
Still no Ofer. I mean, Jared, have you heard any of these people?
Yes. The Offspring and Tears for Fears.
The Offspring, yes. Tears for Fears.
Absolutely.
I mean, what the hell is that?
Offspring.
Billy Joel has Del Jura singing for him because he can't sing anymore.
Billy Joel, Billy... Shut up, had enough. Billy Joel still puts on a really good show.
You're acting like an ass.
Billy Joel's legendary.
Yes, he is. And he still puts on a really good show. Now, you put on the screen that he said we called it the greatest show ever. We never said that.
Right.
We said he still puts on a damn good show, though, and it's still worth going to.
Right. It's legendary. Yeah, I don't think either of us said that.
I think it's, like, you know, it was a lot of, like, missed. I think it was, like, him mishearing it.
Clearly. Right.
It was just.
People hear what they want.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating.
It's like frustrating. He picked out the one bits and pieces of the conversation, and it's like, oh, someone just said something really bad about Billy Joel. I must defend his honor. I must do it.
Right. Sus, look at Sus showing more life than you've ever shown on the overnight. Welcome to the fans, Sus. We can use that energy on the overnight, for goodness sake. Geez.
2 minutes before we break, because we have Russo. Give me one story over the 35 years as a listener or someone at this radio station that you remember, that you always think about.
Man.
I told you to think about this.
No, I know, but there are so many. It's impossible to pick just one.
Give me one.
I'll give you one. The first time I ever called the station, 1995, it was after, I want to say, Game 3 or Game 4 ALDS Yankees-Mariners. Mariners just beat the Yankees, and I called Beningo. And, you know, whatever, Sal Rocca, be on the van. Joe, I despise the Yankees. Well, why is that, Sal? And then just went on to a whole, you know, whatever. But, like, thinking back to my, and then I used to call Mike and the Dog or whatever.
Oh, you did.
I call Summers.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Not, like, regularly enough to where you would know. Although Mike on the Sunday show would call about the Falcons. Sal and Ronkonkoma, how about those Falcons, Sal? So I have that on tape. All those memories as a call, calling after the Knicks would lose. I called Bill Daughtry. I loved it, Jerry. I remember first discovering the fan, and somebody told me about it that I went to high school with, and I fell in love with it. I was like 95, let's say, and I just fell in love with it. And calling the station, for me, those will always be, you know, memories that I loved.
Well, you mentioned Bill Daughtry. I played golf with Bill and Chris Carlin once at Pebble Creek Golf Course in Colts Neck, New Jersey. It's got to be 97, 98. It's a long time ago. And it was one of the worst rounds, time-wise, I have ever played. We left. I think we played, and Pebble Creek's a nice course. It's actually pretty good. It doesn't run that long. This day, I think an outing went long, and we played 5 hours, and I think we were still on the 14th hole.
Oh, my God.
To where I said, I got to go. Yeah. I can't stay any longer. And I think me and Carlin left, and Bill finished by himself. But it was a great day, though. But that's, think about that. That's 24 years ago?
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane how long ago. Right, think back to
that. Used to play golf with Bob Wischusen a lot.
I was thinking, I never worked with Bob. He's one guy that I never crossed over with. I've tweeted with him or whatever. But yeah, I remember, like, you know, Tolly or whatever. But Jeff, I was thinking about this today because I was playing 90s. I've been on a 90s hits kick. And, you know, some of them are clear, like, 90s. And then Intergalactic came on by the Beastie Boys. And I'm like, this was in the 90s? The separation from, let's say, that was 98 or 99, whatever. Like, those years, from 95 on, feel like it was yesterday. Pre-95 feels like I was...
Like it's black and white television time.
Yeah, right, like I was a 10-year-old or whatever. It's ridiculous, the difference in those years.
All right, quick break. When we come back, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, as we reminisce a little bit on the 35th anniversary of the station, Sal and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.